Are we on? Okay, we're ready.
Okay. I'd like to call the Osage Nation Congressional Committee on Health and Social Services. Date is September 5th, time 1:07 PM. Okay, I got it.
Anyway, there. It's 8 minutes.
Okay. We've got a roll call.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
Speaker Pratt?
What's here?
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congressman Shaw?
Here.
Father asked me to be with us this afternoon, Father, and give us some guidance and some wisdom today. Given us some clear minds and some peace in our hearts so we could conduct some good business earlier, Father. And we thank you for that blessing, Father. And prayers are for the Collins Buffalo Head family. Please comfort them and give them some ease to their hearts, Father. And we ask you to be with us to help make our best decisions. Amen. Amen. Approval of minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. Okay, let's look at our agenda here. Actually, I thought I communicated to the clerk that we wanted to review the health financials as well as ONCA 1794, but I see that didn't get on our revised agenda, so my mistake, I didn't make that clear.
I think it's on there.
Is it?
May not be on its hard copy, but I left it just a little bit later. Not on this. I saw you said revised agenda, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Dana? I saw it in our inbox.
What did you have on there, Dana? Well, yes, the question is what about a review of health and wellness financials? Remember that got on?
No, I did not.
Oh, did not get that on.
No, okay. Sorry.
Well, so it would it be the opinion of this committee that we're not able to address those since it's on the agenda? Gotcha.
Unfortunately, I think that you missed the whole point of publishing an agenda when you do that.
Okay, we'll go do ONC. Any other opinions from the committee? Clerk, the secretary said, can you suspend the rules and make an essentially a last minute addition to the agenda? I guess I haven't seen us do that before. Don't know if we could. We do certainly several other things that seem to be within the same reach out the floor of Congress. But, and again, it's not an action item. There's no action going to be taken. But again, I'm going to follow our rules. Anyone feel like they want to try to add that? If not, we'll address only 1794. Okay. All right. 1794. I'd like to surrender the chair of the meeting to the vice chair, who is. To Speaker Pratt as I present this bill. Congressman Edwards, would you please chair the meeting so I can present this bill?
Yes. Noting that we have a rule that says that general appropriations bills take priority in, and I'm assuming you don't want any action on this bill today. Let us begin. Congressman Shaw?
Just along those same lines, though, is that we haven't been given any appropriation tasks yet.
I agree.
I anticipate that any day, any half day, but as of today, we didn't really have anything yet.
I'm just saying it's going to have to stall somewhere.
I agree. No, I'm not ready to. It needs some more work before it's ready.
Okay.
So ONCA 1794, as you may remember from last year, is an act to establish a summer program to introduce Osages to careers in the health industry and to appropriate $20,520 to the executive branch. And it we had six Osage students this last summer, and I have our health and wellness director, Ms. Tillman, who oversaw the operation of that program, and she sent a narrative, which is right here. It's been stamped in and presided in your packet. Also an attachment and an email was sent to you for reviewing at a later time. I think that the thing to remember about this bill is that, and perhaps how it's not exactly like another piece of education, is since we compacted the clinic, we have the facility now to be able to expose our own students to what Osage Health looks like here in its infancy. One of the primary factors in Native healthcare workforce is the instability. IHS is prior to this, prior to the compact of the clinic by the Osage Nation, we were chronically understaffed or had low contingents. We had an unstable workforce except for two physicians, providers, and that hampered us to be able to achieve and make progress. One of the things we have in as our capability of compacting is we do our own hiring, we set our own salaries, and we contract our own professionals. In fact, for any position in the clinic, but particularly for the nurses and the providers and the dentists and the pharmacists. And so to be able to take advantage of that and introduce Osages to these health careers in our facilities, particularly when it comes to physician, highlighting some of our personnel who are Osage, that is the best step to approach and try to plan for a stable Osage Native workforce in that health facility in the future. There are other areas of the country that have a very unstable workforce. For example, the Great Plains area, who recently lost their Medicare accreditation. They had lost their accreditation because they had lapses in quality, they had lapses in care in the emergency and obstetrics, and they had a constant series of locum tenens physicians. They had one in three physician positions vacant, and even higher than that was for dentists and pharmacists. Again, temporary personnel, not stable personnel, people who were either repaying a scholarship obligation or who were working off a loan repayment with no commitment to the area. They had no roots, they had no cultural attachments. I would submit to you that being able to encourage Osages with exposure to an Osage facility with Osage professionals, that's your guarantee of trying to staff there with Osage professionals in the future. We're not going to see an immediate reward from a high school health career summer program. My thought was to draw a plan for the future for the healthcare staff of the future. So when we've got three clinics instead of one, and we're growing, that we've got a dedicated workforce that has cultural attachments to these lands and to our people, so we don't have a string of temporary. So we've done that for the first year, and I guess if it's okay with the chair, the vice chair, I'd like to ask Ms. Tillman if she could just give us a verbal report. Doesn't have to read the entire narrative, but a verbal report of your experience with this first summer.
Decided to go with juniors and seniors in high school, and they set a criteria that we put in our really didn't meet the criteria anywhere else for being a senior in high school. And the rest of them are, so we just keep giving the rest of them the head of five. We hope next year to get our announcement out sooner, and we hope to advertise it in different places so that we reach a broader audience. Maybe bring some out-of-state kids to us. But we had a really good orientation form the first day. We did some of the same kinds of orientation that our employees receive on infection control, HIPAA, safety, just the different things that we normally put our regular employees to, but just a multimedia version of that. And then we kind of sit through a couple of our meetings that we had with our directors and to kind of get an idea of the types of things that we talk about in a meeting. I don't think they enjoyed that part too much. So maybe that's something we won't have them do next time. But the CHRs were very important in this because we found out that they were basically the only ones who could transport the students because of the liability, and that's what they do for their jobs is transport people. So we relied on them to be there in the morning because not all the kids had access to any people or even a driver's license. And they would be there in the morning and we'd have them sign in because they only got paid for the time they were there. They were told that from the beginning that they had to be there. And then the CHRs were transported to the different sites that they were supposed to be at that day. And then we would bring them back to the clinic so they could sign out. We really need them to be invested in the program. We had one student who let me know 2 hours into orientation that he would be leaving 2 hours later and would be back the rest of that week. So, and then there were some things that came up that a couple others had to attend, and football came up at the very end. So, there were a few conflicts, but I think those are things too we need to address. We'll put more emphasis on the beginning next year during our interviews to let them know that we do expect them to be there 100% of the time that they're able to be. Some got sick, which can help that, but then we really need them to be there to get the most out of it because it does kind of throw off the schedules too. We pre and post survey with them, just some simple questions to find out what the experience was like for them. And I believe all of them got something out of it. So I do think it was a good thing to do. It was very easy, but it was very time consuming for at least one employee in a clinic. That's been a lot of time supporting meals for them, their lunch and learns, and making sure that they got where they needed to be and that they showed up. Because we also had one student who disappeared twice. We had to find them and they had to be at home. So we learned a lot from it. So I hope that we can do it again. And we've already talked about the show about maybe some things we can do differently. So we have a question.
Where were the students from geographically?
Fairfax, Tommy, Husky, and Morrison, Tulsa.
So I assume the one that disappeared was not the one that was in Tulsa. And it says in here that you think that perhaps the program needs to be reduced to a 2-week program. Can you speak to that issue?
Yeah, either shorten a day or shorten the time. They're just observing. They're not actually doing anything. So it's hard to sit and watch somebody all day long. I think they got a little bored at times, and sometimes they wanted to go home early. We tried to fill that space with something else, but it was hard to do sometimes. But they really enjoyed being in the clinic. I mean, they really liked being with the medical people, the doctors and the nurses and the dentist and the optometrist. They all said that was the highlight.
So when they were in the clinic setting, and I would suppose that would be the most exciting portion of it for people that wanted to observe health careers, what could they actually do without violating HIPAA or anything like that? What could they actually do in the clinic?
Well, they could go with their provider or their nurse, and they sign a confidentiality statement. Knowing that what they heard or saw had to stay there. And I think they understood that. But most of it was just sitting and listening. And I think, when you're interacting with a patient, it's interesting. But when you're, like a couple of times, the guys had to go to the university, that kind of thing wasn't exciting for them. And the medical time just needed to be. try to do the lunch and learns. We try to get a diverse number of people to come to those. We had domestic violence doctors came in one day and spoke to them. I gave a part of the Indian Health Service Scholarship Program in the Education Department, talked about tribal assistance that's available for education. You know, some of them were there and some of them weren't quite there. So that I don't know that they were too engaged in that part. But domestic violence, the lunch and learn, and we sent them to Title VI and talked that they got to work with the elderly that day, helping them with their trays and just sitting down and talking to them. So when they're actually doing something, I think they enjoyed it.
So I have a question kind of about the administration and getting to setting your policy and stuff, and I was reading through your memo that said, it pointed to that maybe more departments needed to be involved in the organization of this. And what departments, are you talking specifically about the departments that you took them to?
Yes.
To see more about our healthcare facilities?
Yes.
And stuff? Okay.
Yes, I think once we got the agenda down, we needed to bring all those department heads to the table so we could make sure that the times we chose were good for them or that their staff was going to be there. Because there were a couple of times when they would get there and the staff would have been there. Part of that was our fault, though. We didn't get those agendas out as fast as we needed to. So we learned some of the things that we needed to do better, too.
And one of the points in here is that there needs to be one person delegated to the program. Were you able to do that this time, or?
We were. Fortunately, Selena had just come on, and that's what I assigned her to do, was to make sure they showed up in the morning and be in the kitchen when they came, so that they signed in, and to make sure that their meals were ordered when they had their lunch and learns, that they got to where they needed to be. And she's the one that discovered that some of them might have disappeared throughout the day because she tried to stay on top of them. But as you know, she's no longer with us, so we don't have that person anymore. So next year, I will force her to figure something out.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Congressman Shaw?
Before the meeting commenced and was convened, you and I talked about an enrichment program, some sort of academic enrichment program. Something scaled down that could be performed within 4 weeks, something that would be at a level for a high school junior or senior, whether it be introduction to chemistry or introduction or a high school biology, some sort of high school anatomy class that would be somewhat health related or something they would encounter in college. So enrichment in terms of preparation rather than remedial. And you and I talked about possible sources for that. That would occupy part of the day if you had an enrichment program there. Many programs like this that are in other areas have an enrichment program. Some are even longer than this through the summer. What's your opinion of that enrichment piece of this summer program?
Are you asking me what they're there for, or if you were talking about anatomy, I think that's good. When they do go to the eye doctor, they can then relate to what they're doing there or the dental department. Just something basic.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, they did get CPR training, and I put that in my report, and they did go to the QPR question first grade respond for suicide. So we tried to get them into some things like that to get them some sort of skill for that. Some enjoyed it, some didn't. Some are already CPR training, so I was surprised. But it's a good class, it'd be good.
Is this budgeted out of the restricted revenue from third-party billing?
From the general fund and treasury.
If this was budgeted out of the restricted funds that come through third-party billing, would that be something that you would favor?
We had to. Pushing that would favor it, but I don't know if we have that funding or not.
So, I mean, would you prioritize it in that funding if you were the person that was deciding how to prioritize funding?
I want to say yes, but I also know we have some $20,000 is a lot of money. It could be a piece of equipment that we might need. I think maybe in a year or two we might be there, but we could do that.
Okay. Yes.
And so with the appropriation request, the appropriated amount the same that you're requesting this time?
Right, as of today, we're not ready to put the final amount in yet. This enrichment piece is a required amount to change, or it may stay the same.
So you did request the 20?
Same amount.
Same amount. How did that budget?
So you came out ahead. Number one, we decided the law didn't say what age group, so we selected high school. Mm-hmm. These particular ones had either lived with a grandparent, or stay with a grandparent here, or to drive back and forth. So we didn't need to use the housing service expense. The administrative expense, we're still going to, we're working on getting that taken care of, because I feel like that was definitely, gosh, if we could use more in that column, that would be nice. But we did use that, and we'll prepare an invoice to move that money to the departments that were responsible for the administrative part.
What does that mean, administrative expense?
Whatever costs were, pays people need to be. Whatever indirect might come out of that, like an indirect cost to the programs that help operate.
Oh, I'm sorry, your analysis for the kids?
We had to do UAs, yes. We put them through the same vetting that we would an employee. We want them drug free when they come to our clinic.
Okay, and then, because it says it's zero.
That's because we haven't moved that money. I was on the phone with Tasha earlier today trying to decide how we can do that. She wanted us to prepare an invoice for the time, maybe CHR's time spent transporting, maybe Selena's time that she spent working with the students.
That's confusing to me.
Yes. It's a confusing concept.
It is, and it's not
because the staff members that are doing this already get paid, so.
But it was an additional duty, and it did take a lot of, took them away from the workstation for quite some time. Sometimes the CHRs were gone for the whole day, so they couldn't do their CHRs.
So who gets that money then?
That's what we're trying to decide. We were talking about possibly some kind of crazy attitude.
What does the law say?
Living in between those, like HR, payroll, CHR, those are the four main staff that were working on a day-to-day basis.
But did you have to have additional staff come in to?
If we hadn't had her, we might have had to.
So that's the concept I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around, is why you would need more money into payroll when payroll is already set.
This says the I'm looking at the law. It says the, is this the same one as last year?
Yeah.
The health careers summer program enrolled attendees may receive the following assistance. So this says the attendees are going to get that.
The administrative expense.
What it says, the health career summer program enrolled attendees may receive the following assistance: stipend, living expenses, program activities, and administrative costs.
That's why someone thought that maybe we should just write a check for the students. I think that was an error in the language of the original bill. I don't think there was any intent to give the students an administrative fee.
Well,
certainly they already have a stipend. I mean, they wouldn't be getting a stipend and an administrative fee. Certainly administrative fee would be going to students.
Well, it just seems like an administrative fee would be the cost of whatever materials or needs they would have while they were there. I wouldn't think it would be a payroll issue, and so that's surprising to me that might be a payroll issue. But anything that they would need, overheads, materials for what we call them, the new concept.
Enrichment.
An enrichment, materials for that, I would think would be an administrative fee, but that's a good.
Yeah. IDs to get them in the. That's what it seemed like to me, but anyway, it says that you're right. That's why somebody asked probably, why aren't we, why aren't you just writing them a check? But, well, like, what were they supposed to receive assistance for program activities? It, but it does say per student, per student, per student. Anyway.
I guess you could interpret that as each student can receive, the students can receive a degree $3,000 in administrative expense, I guess, towards the administrative expenses to conduct the program. That's not the most direct way of articulating it, I agree.
I think that it would be better if we put that money back in the hopper and start it over again next year.
I don't disagree with you. And I think we even mentioned that, you can go back to the Treasury and find some place to do it, perhaps. What I plan to do with this bill is, in its final form, is to look at a committee sub that reworks some of the language here, as you just pointed out, for example, that may contain an enrichment piece back here. I don't know if the total amount will change, or if it does, it'll be, you know, within 10% of what it was. And as far as the funding source, that still could be determined. But I didn't know we were going to discuss this today because I really felt like we were going to dive right into the health budget. And so that'll probably be tomorrow. So today we're looking at this. This is a survey. I wanted Ms. Tillman to give us some information. We've got financial information.
That's good.
So that's really all we've expected to accomplish today.
Just one more comment I'd like to make to the people from the Wajaji Health Clinic. I had the opportunity to go out and visit with the Northern California Osages, and they had a good outpouring of people that came this last time. But just in our, we had a lot of social time. So just in our social time, I talked to a lot of parents that has sent their children with the Osage scholarship, different fields of study, some medical, some not. But the most overwhelming resounding conversation I had with most of those parents is their children and the students are so grateful for the monies that they get from the education scholarship, but they want to come back and do something with our nation as Osages, to be able to come and use their skills that they've learned through their scholarship. So I know that starting a program off like this is a big task, and it might be somewhat of a pain in your regular work day, but from going out and visiting with those age people, that's really what they want to do. They want to be able to come back here, or a lot of them, come back here and help. So I see this as a stepping stone to do this. I think we should, I wish we could get into a position where we were able to do that in more fields of study, more disciplines across our nation. So thank you for organizing it and putting it into effect, because I think that one of these days we might have one of those California students or a Washington State student that wants to come and see what we do here with this. So I appreciate you guys for doing that.
And remember, that's the goal of the field of study internship that's already in place, is to allow those juniors and seniors in college that are getting ready to take the next step to come find employment. And the Osage Nation is a viable employer to allow them to have that 12-week, I think it's about 12 weeks. The issue here is housing. And so you and I have talked, and we at one point were looking at the someplace for housing, but I guess that's probably been taken over now by somebody else. But you know, that's not just in the health field. It's accounting, which we are sorely lacking in people. It's legal department. I was just listening. Art museum, construction management, engineering. I mean, we've got lots of needs that if we could have a place for people to come back, we've got the funding already in place for it. We just need, like you said, we need a supervisory entity, and then we need a place for housing. Yes.
Well, this is along the same lines as that internship. It just is targeting
high schoolers,
earlier age group, and even that's not as early as you could. You know, people talk about STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. enrichment programs even back to elementary school. And so I just backed it out another level. I should say the staff did by making a decision to put juniors and seniors in there to be able to, and then some of the, I would love to think the juniors and seniors, one who can, wants to continue on in medicine, one mentioned pediatrician or obstetrics, would then perhaps want to even look at the internship when they were college junior or senior. And then perhaps once they're in even professional school, they could continue to take advantage of the scholarship program.
Right.
So it's a continuum.
It says you had three that stuck with their same commitment, some commitment. One decided to be highly committed, and the other one decided, eh, it's good for me. Pretty good. Better to find out early.
I guess part of this, the task of the staff, is to create an experience for them that they're undecided or are not sure. Maybe they'll change their mind. You're not giving them a hard sell necessarily. Just if there's a, if there's interest there, maybe it's the right person, the right day, the right facility, the right collection of events that creates a spark. You never know. I know going into specialties as a physician, sometimes you see the right attending physician who seem to have such a mastery of their field that you wanted to have a mastery like that. And so sometimes that would attract you to that field, for that matter, maybe into this profession. We're into health at all. So anyway, I'll bring this back here. I'm certainly willing to have a table today, and then we'll have some more of the details about yes or no on the enrichment program, structure the line items for the expenses a little better, in a little more detail, then we can reconsider it again later in the month.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tom. Appreciate you coming over. And turn the chair back over to the chair.
Motion to postpone ON. The chair would entertain a motion to postpone ONCA 1794 to call the chair.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to postpone ONCA 1794. Any discussion? All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? We have no other items of business on the agenda.
Adjourn.
Okay. Second.
Second.
Okay. Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.
What time do you have on that green project?
1:40.